It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, we present a special Heritage Day chapel titled, Dr. and Mrs. James D. Edwards, Reflections of God's Glory.
Father, this program is all about you, for you have given us the heritage of those that fear your name. We come before you now to bring praise and honor to you and not men. We thank you for a goodly heritage of men and women that have come before us pointing the way to you. We thank you for helping them remain faithful servants of you, and we pray that in years to come we would be able to see how you have kept successive generations faithful to you. We pray that you would continue to raise up servants to guide your people, and we praise you in advance at how you will work exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, we ask you now to bless this program as it brings glory to you. In your own name we ask this. Amen.
In his preaching, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. often encouraged his boys and girls to be back hall lights.
Although these lights are not beautiful or bright, they are the ones that shine faithfully in the dark to keep you from breaking your neck when you have to get up in the middle of the night.
Be faithful. Be dependable. Like the back hall light.
Sometimes, God takes a modest light, and because of its strong character or unusual talent or leadership ability or dedication to the cause of Christ, makes of it a beautiful chandelier.
Today we honor not one, but two such chandeliers.
The late Dr. James D. Edwards.
And his wife, Elizabeth Reynolds Edwards.
Who gave to the Lord almost 100 years of combined service. Because of their love,
devotion,
loyalty,
whether in the classroom, in performance, or discipline, or in the guidance of future generations, they have been
reflections of God's glory.
James D. Edwards was born on November 5th, 1914, in the small southern town of Eclectic, Alabama.
A few years before his death, in 1981, when addressing the student body, he summarized those early years and his decision to come to Bob Jones College.
I was brought up in a wonderful Christian home. My mother and father were devout Christians, and over 50 years ago, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I finished high school, and of course, there was no other school for me to attend but Bob Jones University. My father was always a dear friend of Dr. Bob's Sr.'s, and I remember in 1921, the first time I ever remember Dr. Bob preaching was in Montgomery, Alabama, at that famous meeting he had in across the street from the state capitol in Montgomery. From then on until the time that the college was founded, my father followed Dr. Jones's ministry wherever it went, and when he did found Bob Jones College in 1927, I was still in high school. We had our family devotions every morning at breakfast, which is a wonderful time to have your family devotions when your family's together in the beginning of the day. My father always asked the Lord to bless the college. He didn't name it, didn't call it by name. He just said, Lord, bless the college. The Lord knew what college he was talking about. It was Bob Jones College. My mother was a little tight. She was never more than 5 feet, 2 or 3. She always taught me this one saying, 1 Thessalonians 5:22 will tell you exactly what to do. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That was one of her sayings always to me. And I, in my 2 or 3 minute sermons that I preach across my desk to a number of students, I always quote that to them. After I finished college, I didn't know exactly what the Lord would have me do. I had dedicated my life to the Lord. Then during the summer, after my graduation, I felt that the Lord had called me back to Bob Jones College. And I came back to Bob Jones College as Dean of Men when I was 21 years old. And I have been here ever since. Although not a preacher, I feel that my calling of the Lord was just as definite as if I had been called to the full-time gospel ministry.
Meanwhile, on June 14, 1917, in Newton, Alabama, Carolyn Elizabeth Reynolds was born. This small town was not far from Dr. Bob Sr.'s birthplace in Dothan, Alabama.
He would affectionately tease her, saying, "We've chewed rosin off the same pine tree."
In a 1992 Vesper program, Mrs. Edwards, at 75, looking back over her life, shared this testimony.
About 60 years ago, a 17-year-old stood on the front porch of her parents' home. A late summer breeze was blowing. Her friends had said, "Don't go. Stay here and go to college with us." From where she was standing, she could see the road they would come up to tell her goodbye. Her pastor had warned her, "Well, you are not going up there, surely." His look carried such disapproval that even now she felt uneasy. But it was the words of her aunt that weighed most heavily on her. "What a waste of your talent. I'm afraid you're going to look back on this part of your life with regret. What are your folks thinking?" Her mother and father were thinking that their daughter should go to a rather new school, Bob Jones College. They were thinking she would find the will of the Lord for her there. She did not think so. She wanted to make something of herself, to become important. And as she stepped down from that porch that late summer day, she looked back at the house and felt a pain in her heart, which she thought might be regret. The campus in Cleveland, Tennessee, was stately, with red brick buildings and green lawns all around. Before she had time to wonder where to go, a young man, an upperclassman, came and offered to take her suitcases. He was handsome, she thought. But the friendliness and beauty of the place were not enough to make up for the situation that seemed unbearable, nor was the money her uncle would give her. Every year, $300 toward the $450 for room, board, and tuition. She would have a work scholarship for the rest. The young man was waiting for her. Oh, she thought, "Can I do this?" It was not until October that she surrendered her life to the Lord, and she knew her parents had been right. Every year she found more uses for her God-given abilities in the classroom, on stage, in life. And every year she wondered what the rest of her life would be. At commencement, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. came up to her and held out his hand. She took it, thinking he was going to congratulate her. But instead, he asked, "Would you like to come back here next fall to teach?" She stepped back in surprise. She hardly knew what to think. But she came back as a teacher. And the following May, she married that handsome young man who took her suitcases that first day.
May 31st, 1939, marked the beginning of 42 years of marriage and service together at Bob Jones. At that point, Jimmy D., as she always lovingly called him, continued as Dean of Men and History Professor, and she taught all the freshman speech classes.
In the summers, they studied together at the University of Michigan, where each earned a master's degree.
She in speech.
He in history.
Both
continued teaching. The 1944 vintage was dedicated to Dean Edwards. The dedication attributed these qualities: loyalty, diligence, efficiency, and justice to this able 30-year-old administrator.
God blessed their home with children. In 1943, James D. Edwards, Jr. was born.
Carolyn Deira Edwards followed in 1947.
These years were a busy and productive time on the beautiful Cleveland, Tennessee campus.
When World War II ended, There was a great influx of students enrolled at the university, and the campus could not accommodate all the students who wanted to come.
So, when the school moved to Greenville, the Edwardses came too.
Mrs. Edwards said, "It was hard for me to leave Cleveland because my college days had been there. I was married there, and both of our children were born there. We packed everything up and moved to what had once been a cornfield. I remember thinking as I saw the campus for the first time, oh no. The bulldozers were working, and there was red dirt flying everywhere. Some of the buildings were not finished yet, and there was nothing in the way of landscaping. Only one tree was standing on the campus, by the library, and it was already dying. We called that our pioneering year."
As their ministry grew, their light shone in many different areas.
After being Dean of Men, Dean of Commerce, and Dean of Students, Dean Edwards became Dean of Administration.
In 1952, in recognition of his administrative accomplishments, Dr. Edwards was awarded the honorary degree of Doctor of Laws.
Mrs. Edwards became head of the Department of Interpretative Speech, continued to direct vespers, perform in classic players, act in films, and above all, faithfully support her husband and rear her children, all with the vibrant energy that had so characterized her life.
The 1960 vintage was dedicated to them both.
Their son Jim graduated in 1964 and soon became one of the youngest men ever to achieve managing partner with Arthur Anderson. He and his wife Sharon have a son, David, and Mrs. Edwards recently became a great-grandmother when David and his wife Zipporah had a daughter they named Mary.
Their daughter, Carolyn, a 1969 graduate, became Mrs. Larry Smith, and much like her mother, excelled in teaching and homemaking. The Smith's son, Ryan, now a graduate student in Bible, led in prayer this morning.
Dr. Edwards chaired the scholarship committee, the administrative conference, and the university housing committee. He also oversaw the hiring of all university personnel. His overriding desire while fulfilling his responsibilities was to keep the school right, true to the principles of the founder.
Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "The cause is everything." And you weren't around Dr. Edwards very long until you realized that he had adopted that philosophy. He certainly had a love for Bob Jones University, for the students, and for the opportunity that God gave him to serve here.
The first thing that comes to mind when I think about my close working relationship with Dr. Edwards is what I reverently wish to call a sacred compulsion to keep the university spiritually vibrant and aggressive. It was my privilege to work with Dr. Edwards in the hiring of arts and science faculty members. After all academic qualifications and credentials had been examined and the applicant considered acceptable in every way, Dr. Edwards would ask him to relate his conversion experience and his reasons for seeking a place of service at Bob Jones University. He impressed upon the potential teacher our unwavering determination to make a person's spirituality the overriding criterion in our employment decision.
Dr. Edwards remained on call virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
In all of his responsibilities, he never lost his compassion.
One former administrator recalls, "Some years ago, I found out that one night Dr. Edwards could not sleep because he'd been restless. He spent the wee hours of the morning praying specifically for me and for my ministry here. Even though he occupied the highest administrative position within the faculty, he never made you feel like a subordinate, but rather treated you as a colleague."
For over 40 years, Dr. Edwards also chaired the discipline committee.
He said the thing he prayed for most was a sense of fairness. And to be fair, you had to listen.
One former student described the common scenario that would take place in Dr. Edwards' office.
"You were called in, and you were afraid you knew the reason, and you hoped he didn't have a lot of facts. You took a chair, and he introduced the topic, and then he sat, and looked at you. After a few minutes, you started talking. The calm silence was disconcerting. He still sat. You talked some more. Finally, you confessed everything you could remember and some things that you'd forgotten until this very moment. And when he was finished, he nodded and told you what could be done to make things right. Then he prayed, and you left his office absolutely drained, but ready to begin again.
From the time of my earliest boyhood memories until the present, the Edwards and Jones families have been like one family. Jimmy Edwards, their oldest son, was a contemporary of my brother John, best of friends, partners in crime sometimes, and their daughter Carolyn and my sister Joy grew up together as girlhood friends. Dr. Edwards could put you at ease like very few people I've ever known, and he could also scare the daylights out of you more than anybody I've ever known. If a student were in trouble, the last person they'd want to see is Dr. Edwards, because he could stare right through them. And that stare would bring the truth out of anybody and would soften the hardest of hearts. He was very effective at what he did. He was also very loyal to this institution. And I think that's the thing that I appreciate most about him, because I heard my father and grandfather speak again and again of his intense loyalty, his devotion to Christ, his devotion to the ministry here. There's one letter in particular that I remember coming across in the files as a result of Mrs. Iris Jackson finding it and putting it across my desk. It was written from some hotel up in the northern part of Washington State. My father, my grandfather and my grandmother were out there in an extended evangelistic crusade. It was in the earlier days of the school, back when things were very shaky. And my grandfather out there, as far as you could get from BJU and still be in America, in a day of trains, before airplanes, he couldn't get back here in a moment's notice, and he was scared to death all the time he was gone that the school would collapse and there'd be nothing left when he got back. And he wrote a letter on the hotel stationery where they were staying. And he said, "Dear Unc," it was written to Dr. Edwards. Everybody here called him Unc. To me, he was Unc, and she was Aunt Lib. And, "Dear Unc," he said, "I'm worried about the boys in the student body." He said, you need to give them enough discipline to straighten them out and enough love to keep them from getting hardened. He said, "You have to sugarcoat the discipline pill to get them to swallow it." Now, he said, "Unc, I've never met a boy yet who couldn't use some tail kicking. So," he said, "when that's necessary, you be sure they get it. But be sure they get enough love along with it that God will keep their heart soft and they'll learn from the discipline and they'll come out to be something that God can use, some kind of a man of God as a result of the process. But don't be afraid to work the process."
In all his dealings with faculty and students alike, Dr. Edwards never lost his sense of humor.
When I came to Bob Jones, I really did think I'd come to heaven. It was so wonderful. I just couldn't believe the fact that I had Christian teachers and Christian roommates, and we had prayer meeting at night, and it was so exciting. Now, I wasn't used to the rules, but I tried very hard to follow them. However, it seemed that every single week I would end up going to discipline committee. And I'll never forget this redheaded man, Dr. Edwards, who would always sit at the head of the discipline committee. And I would always give him the most convincing stories, and I would explain in detail how it happened that I was turned in and how innocent I was. And he was always very patient, and he listened. And usually I still got the demerits, but at least he was a sympathetic listener. But one day, he saw me coming, and I'll never forget this. I saw him whisper to his colleagues, and I wondered what was going on. Well, I walked up, and I started my dramatic presentation to explain why I was innocent. But before I could say a word, Dr. Edwards started talking, just a mile a minute, just talking so fast. And he just kept talking nonstop without a breath. And I remember I just looked at him. I was just shocked. And I kept listening, and he kept talking. And finally, after several minutes, he just burst out laughing. And he said, "Nancy, I have never seen you speechless." I'm afraid I probably had never been quite that speechless. But, you know, over the years, every time I'd see him on campus, he would remind me of the day he out-talked me. And I'll always cherish that memory of Dr. Edwards. He was such a special, dear man, and a man with a sense of humor, and a man with a real heart for the students, a real love and concern for the student body.
I remember one of these days, I was dean of men in those days. One night I walked through the men's dormitory, and I knocked on the door. And this sound came out from the inside. "If you stick your mangy face in that door, I'm going to knock the poo diddly out of you." I walked into that door after that fella had said that. And if he could have gone under the bed and stayed there, I think he would have. But what else can you do but just laugh about something like that? I wrote that down, put it down, and till this day, every once in a while, I'll see that fella and I'll start that statement to him. So a lot of funny things happen. For Vesper rehearsal, we used to announce Vesper rehearsals in the dining common. And I remember one announcement that was made in the dining common said, "Will the large ladies group that's singing for Vespers please meet after?"
While Dr. Edwards let his light shine in the administrative area, Mrs. Edwards was a favorite light on stage and screen. She got her first role her very first semester of college. She said, "I played Curtis, the servant who snores, in the opening of The Taming of the Shrew. From there on, the roles could get only better." For the next 50 years, her roles did get better. She starred numerous times as Portia in The Merchant of Venice, Olivia in Twelfth Night, Gertrude in Hamlet, and Lady Macbeth.
She frequently directed the Shakespearean plays.
She often performed on Vespers, and even more often, directed. Her programs were known for their visual beauty. Her directing was marked by energy and heart.
Her goal was always to bring glory to God.
Recognizing a need for quality religious material for churches and schools, she co-authored a book, a collection of programs entitled Sound His Glories Forth.
Her acting ability also made her a natural in the productions by Unusual Films.
For 12 years, beginning in 1967, Mrs. Edwards was sought out by community leaders to direct Greenville's Singing Christmas Tree. This annual musical project featured talented musicians from high schools across the county. In these programs, which attracted thousands, participants were first amazed and then delighted by the inspirational leadership she provided.
As Dr. Edwards neared retirement age, he began to train his replacements.
As I reflect on the last 3 years I spent with Dr. Edwards as his apprentice, the thing that stands out in my mind most about him was his humility. It came out in many, many ways. He was a very courteous and gentlemanly person, and he was extremely fair in all of his discipline dealings. But I think his humility showed most to me in the way he was so eager to pass the baton on to the next generation. He was not like is often the case where an older generation does not want to be replaced by someone much younger and much more inexperienced. Instead, he did everything he could to train me and prepare me, and he would have a list of things he wanted to discuss each day. And I spent many hours in his office just listening to his philosophy and his historical perspective. And that humility very, very much impressed me. And I was greatly benefited by the time with him.
On August 20th, 1981, before he could retire from office, Dr. Edwards went to his heavenly home. Dr. Bob Jones, Jr. wrote this personal tribute.
"When you're closely associated with a man for almost 50 years, as I was associated with Dr. Edwards, you learn a great deal about him, and you come to rely heavily upon him. During all of the 30 years in which he suffered intense, constant pain from arthritis, he simply would not give up, and was many times in his office when a lesser man would have been home in bed. Dean Edwards and I used to discuss problems which only close friends of many years will share, and as we prayed together about them, I always felt the burden lighten.
In the years following her husband's death, Mrs. Edwards continued faithfully serving alone in the place where she and her husband had served together.
Her abundant energy,
her friendliness and hospitality to one and all,
her genuine concern for others,
her efficiency and dependability
continued to characterize her life.
When something wasn't right, she fixed it.
One time, at a performance check of a student production, she noticed that the costume for the leading lady wasn't right. "Honey," she said, "you can't wear that." Always an excellent seamstress, she went home and fashioned a new costume by the very next rehearsal.
She opened her home to numbers of former classmates, former students, and visiting parents.
It was a gathering place for birthday parties, showers, luncheons, and receptions.
In her kitchen, Aunt Lib's adopted children came to bake cookies.
All were made to feel welcomed, special, and loved.
She was so concerned about the little things, about people, and that went a long way with me. She was not only concerned about people, but she was an encourager as well. A few years ago, when our son Kent passed away and left a special needs little boy that needed many surgeries, Mrs. Edwards was quick to stop me or let me know that she prayed for us every day. She not only did that, but she would bake her wonderful pound cakes and deliver them to our daughter-in-law and the children. It meant so much that she was not only an encourager, but she demonstrated in her life that she cared.
She also carried her directing abilities away from the campus. One lady told me about how when her mother was ill and they were having to move, Mrs. Edwards came in and totally took charge. And she said, put this here, this goes the other place. And before the day was over, everything was in place. She did the same thing for me when our children, who had been missionaries in Africa, were coming home, and I was trying to get things ready for them in my own house, and Mrs. Edwards came over. She even took the slipcovers off my couch and took those and had them clean. And she was telling everyone what to do so that I'd be altogether ready, and I was.
Elizabeth Edwards has been my friend for a long time, but then she's everyone's friend. She's always doing something for someone. There are many children and young people who love Mrs. Edwards and consider her a very dear friend because she's always interested in what they do. She loved assisting young couples, helping them find bargains, perhaps even sewing or making drapes for them. A missionary needed a carry-on bag, and she searched till she found one. Older people have been the recipients of her kindness, too. She dearly loved Mrs. Jones Sr. and often ministered to her. Her own dear mother was in a rest home here in Greenville, and she went every day to help her. What a vibrant, full of energy person she's been. Always in a hurry, whether walking or talking or cleaning or driving. Her husband once said to mine, "Marvin, I just can't understand why my tires wear out so quickly." Arthritis and other problems have slowed her down now, but she's still interested in everyone and everything.
To many of us, she was all of this and more.
She was our teacher.
She was a caring, dynamic, and innovative member of the Department of Speech Communication.
Every member of the current speech faculty has been taught by her or by someone that she had taught.
She was the first person outside of the Jones family to reach 50 years of teaching. Still going strong, she completed 3 more years of service before retiring.
We have all been instructed,
loved,
chastened,
challenged,
comforted,
and inspired
by Mrs. Edwards.
I have spent my life ministering to students because I honestly believe that a teacher can have as much influence as anyone on the lives of young people, and to help mold a life and see that that life is led into service for the Lord is very rewarding.
I came to Bob Jones University after growing up on a farm in southwestern Virginia in the mountainous area. My major was to be radio and television. After a couple of years at Bob Jones, I was getting very discouraged. It seemed that it just wasn't coming together for me to major in radio and television. In my junior year, I signed up to take a course called Oral Interpretation of Poetry, taught by Mrs. Edwards. During that course, on every assignment of a poem or reading, she worked with me on every line, every emotion, on every presentation, and I started to get it at last. During the final assignment, which she gave me, which was a cutting from a poem by Matthew Arnold called Sohrab and Rustum, about 12 minutes long, she worked with me hour upon hour, and the emotion started to come. Finally, I gave it in class, and the class was totally surprised at my growth. That class, and particularly that presentation, was a major turning point in my life.
I'm a former student of Mrs. Edwards, and I was always impressed with the personal time and attention and interest that she took in her students' lives, both in and out of the classroom. I remember many times I would see her on campus, or I'd be walking on the sidewalk somewhere with my friends, and she would say, Claudine, I've found this speech that you've been looking for. I found some information on this piece, or whatever. And just the fact that she remembered my name half the time, let alone what I was working on, really impressed me. I've been teaching now myself for about 10 years, and the example that she set as a teacher in my life has always motivated me to take the same interest in my students' lives and to show them the care that she always showed to me.
Mrs. Edwards had a reading that she did on Vespers for a number of years based on the gospel song, Rescue the Perishing. During the first semester of my junior year, I was perishing academically. Through a series of events, my academic legs had been simply cut out from under me, and I was drowning. In fact, when I went to classes, I didn't want to see a teacher. I wanted to hide under the desk. I was so embarrassed. At the end of the year, as a speech major, we did final exams, oral exams, before the speech faculty. After those exams, Mrs. Edwards called me into her office and said, "The faculty really do not think you can do it and that you can't complete the major." But she said, "I do. And I'm going to work with you, and we're going to do it." And by God's grace, we did. And I'm here today. I've been teaching here at Bob Jones University for over 35 years because of the grace of God and the dedication, love, and determination of a faculty member who saw something here, and she was determined to get it out of me and make me successful. I thank the Lord for Mrs. Edwards.
One evening over dinner, Dr. Edwards and I were talking about investments with a group of friends. We were talking about the stock market and real estate and so on. I asked Dr. Edwards if he ever invested in the stock market. He said, "No. Elizabeth and I made a decision many years ago when we first started teaching at Bob Jones University that we would make only one investment, and that would be the investment in the lives of students who came to Bob Jones." And then he looked at Nancy and me and he said, in words that have challenged me to this day to live for Christ, he said, "You are part of our investment."
The girl became a woman now, with many responsibilities. She taught, acted in plays and films, reared children, directed vespers, major productions, and achieved more than she'd ever dreamed of as a girl of 17. Her dreams of being successful changed. She realized that God had meant her to have a hand in the lives of hundreds and hundreds of people, students who would become missionaries, teachers, lawyers, parents, evangelists, pastors, artists, musicians. Last summer, she stood in the kitchen of the director of today's Vesper program. She looked out the window as though over her life, and she thought again how God had planned more for her life than she'd ever planned for herself. She said, "My Christian uncle, who sent me money to go to college, said once that I was the best investment he'd ever made. I thought then that he meant he'd invested in a girl's Christian education. But he meant he had invested in the hundreds of lives I would serve." She went back to the dishes, smiling, to think how small her girlish dreams of success had been. That girl on the porch may have had a few regrets, but the woman in the kitchen, the woman here, does not. She has no regrets at all. I know I am that woman.
In these two wonderfully dedicated servants, God took faithful, dependable backhaul lights
and transformed them into chandeliers shining for His glory.
If they were here on the platform today, they would throw out this challenge to us all.
Listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. On today's program, you heard a special Heritage Day chapel titled, Dr. and Mrs. James D. Edwards, Reflections of God's Glory. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.